heart of the forest at the base of of Thunderhawk Reach, which is the mountain range that's closest to this area. A hidden camp thrives in the shadows of the towering trees. Concealed by a clever arrangement of natural barriers and concealed entrances, the forest provides sanctuary for a diverse group of rebels. A brave and determined few who dare to challenge the oppressive rule of the dragons and their loyalists. Rough-hewn wooden structures stand alongside huts and tents crafted from weathered logs and animal hides, all blending seamlessly with the surrounding wilderness. A makeshift training ground is in the area, which contains a sparring circle, a variety of weapons, hidden platforms, and multiple targets of varying size. The encampment is hidden from view because of the thick canopy of foliage above it, and is surrounded by concealed traps and several alarms to guard against surprise attacks. A central meeting area, shaded by a colossal oak tree, serves as the heart of the camp. Here is where strategic discussions are held and plans are meticulously crafted. Right now, the air is filled with the aroma of campfires and the sounds of laughter and camaraderie as the sun is going down behind Thunderhawk Reach. As we gather here, the resident bard is giving a performance for those assembled. Evan, would you care to introduce yourself?
Come one, come all. The great orchestrion is here. You, sir. You, sir.
What?
Pick a card. Put it in.
You have to roll.
What are you doing?
Doing a card trick.
He's okay. Doing a card trick.
Make a performance check.
Well, Ashley is drunk, so.
Oh, with advantage?
Before you roll, describe yourself. What's orchestrion look like?
I'm a half-elf, half-human bard.
Okay.
I am rather posh looking for a rebel. That may or may not be due to some deception on the case of my armor.
Okay.
But I look a little bit full of myself, pompous. Think of kind of not a Vegas magician, but a Reno magician.
Okay.
You know, but I have the trappings of, I think I'm hot shit, but I'm maybe a little bit more down the couple of notches than I like to give myself credit for.
Okay.
And, I don't know, I guess I'm about, like, 5'4", just, you know, pretty easy on the eyes.
Okay.
I take care of myself.
Fair enough.
And I'm a tricky son of a gun.
And who was the gentleman he was talking to?
Ashley is a tiefling. Subdued horns. They're, you know, not, like, very overt. Think the tiefling druid in Honor Among Thieves.
Okay.
Very similar, you know. Shoulder length, black hair, simple brown clothes.
Okay.
You know, just clothes because they're clothes. He doesn't look like he cares all that much. But underneath the collar of the shirt, you can see that there's a metallic scale mail that kind of sparkles through, and it's absolutely the cleanest thing that's on him. So it kind of sticks out.
Okay.
Even though we're at home base, he's still got his weapons on him. There's a pair of short swords on one hip and a hand crossbow on the other. There is no quiver of bolts.
Fair enough.
And he's got a hooded cloak on, but the hood's down. And he's just drinking.
Okay.
And you said you were a druid?
No.
Oh, okay.
I did not say class.
Got it. So, as Orchestrion does the card, you're doing like, is this your card? One of those kind of things?
I'm going to do something to that effect.
Okay. Then let's do two rolls. Let's start with a sleight of hand check to see if you can pull the trick off, and then we'll do a performance check to see how good it looks. Make a perception check, Ashley.
Natural 20.
Ooh. For a total of?
What's that?
For a total of?
Oh, perception.
This is an opposed skill check, so.
Where's perception?
First roll of the game, natural 20.
Yeah, Jesus. Perception is, Jesus Christ, plus 6. So 26.
Oh, wow. Shit.
How'd you do it, Kestrel?
I was 24.
Wow.
You got me.
Okay, make a performance check. That was your sleight of hand.
Okay. 18.
Okay. You saw the move. Ashley, you're able to clearly see where he inserted into the deck, did a little bottom deal, and was able to move the card to the top. But he's very skilled at it, and he's a pretty good performer, even though you know exactly what he did.
Mm-hmm. And I go, is that your card?
No. Yeah, it is. I'm just messing with you.
You're a lively one, sir. You're a lively one.
That was a good trick.
Thank you.
I liked it.
The rest of our team, please, we'll go to Victoria next. Describe yourself, who you are, and where you would be at this moment. Also, the time of the day right now is sundown, so like the evening cook fires are starting. There's the smell of food. People are sitting down, helping themselves to an evening meal.
Is there like a table or something nearby?
There's tables set up, like makeshift, like carved tables. There's tables that have been made out of like big stones that are set into the forest.
I'm going to be at one of the tables. Probably you see an annoying amount of books all stacked up.
Okay.
Kind of being rude, taking up too much space. And head in a book. And probably like one or two teacups that are clearly like old and, you know, discarded tea and like cold and but just like focused reading. You see a quill in her hand, like jotting stuff down.
Okay. What does she look like?
Oh,
you didn't say anything about who you are.
She is a gnome. She's dressed very like a tomboy. She looks like and dresses like an old school librarian, but she has a wizard's pointed hat on. She's got red hair, light skin, and you can tell that she like thinks she looks very prim and proper. Kind of has like a checkered vest on and like an overcoat, kind of like a men's overcoat, and like a little tie and everything, like, you know.
Okay.
And like big thick horn rimmed glasses, and then like big boots, and then that's it. Like you, and like really high collar, so you don't really see any of her skin or her or the way she looks.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what do we call her?
Oh, Malady.
Malady.
Yes. Okay, Malady. Last name Little.
Malady Little.
Malady Little.
Okay. And finally, give us some Brazzle Dazzle.
Give us the old
Brazzle Dazzle. So, probably off in a tent somewhere, you see a dragonborn prey. I am Zarkon Kallus. I'm about 7 feet tall. I have, like, silver hair and crystal skin. He is wearing armor. Half plate with a symbol of like a dragon, and in the dragon's mouth is a jewel. And he does have some vestments that go over his armor.
Okay.
And he's in a serious, like, meditation, praying.
Okay. So, there's several other people assembled for your performance, Orchestrion. Assuming Ashley is there, as he went to you as well. Just sort of chilling, and there's certain, you know, there's poultry legs being passed around. Maybe it's chicken. Maybe it's something they caught out in the woods. That
Renaissance
day.
Fair.
It's very Ren Fair.
Axe speak.
Could be an axe. Sure, could be axe speak. Me, sure. Whatever was caught that day. As you are praying, Zarkon, entering your tent is a battle-worn half-elf female, face bearing weathered scars of countless battles. And she's got these eyes, that very piercing eyes. When you look into them, it tells the tale of a warrior who has seen more than her fair share of tragedy. She wears plate mail that carries the dents and scratches of a lifetime of battles, and two long swords sheathed in an X pattern on her back. This, you would know, Zarkon would know, is Ignis, the commander of the rebel garrison. So settling down for your evening prayers, Zarkon, are you?
Yes, meditation is needed, always.
It is important to enjoy the quiet times while we have them. As you and I both know, they don't last.
Aye, enjoyment is a bit of a strong word.
'Tis fair. Have the others arrived yet? And she's referring to another team. As you all, as we talked about pre-game, the four of you are a team that is sent out on missions. There are several teams in this rebel camp. You four are part of, basically, you're probably the most elite squad. Like, if this was the U.S. Navy, you guys are the SEALs.
Have we worked together a lot?
Oh yeah, you've been working together for several years now.
But like closely, like I know everybody's name?
Yeah.
I don't have to get confused.
Malady would know. You would all know, yeah, your characters would know, we all know each other.
Can I... So she asked if...
She asked if the others have returned. She's referring to another team that was sent out looking for... she sent out another team looking for a supply depot in North Hook, which is about 5 miles southwest of where you guys are. Intel had come in that some of the Hill Giants were setting up a supply depot, and she sent out another team to reconnaissance it and report back.
In what town?
North Hook.
Is that something I would know?
You would know as far as you know, the other team has not returned.
So yeah, I would say, as far as I know, I have been deep in meditation. I have not heard word that the team has returned.
It's getting dark. They were supposed to return before sundown.
That is disconcerting in these times.
Yeah. I also got reports that there are some of our scouts outside the camp found some deployed traps. I sent word to Arya in Dragonthrone. She sent word that she's... might want us to evacuate Dendara and march west to Blackgate. Arya is the... She's your Princess Leia. She's the commander of the rebels. And she runs the camp in Dragonthrone. She may want us to march west to Blackgate and rendezvous with Lord Brasslands and consolidate forces in Blackgate. Who you would know, Zarkon, Lord Brasslands is the commander of the garrison at Blackgate.
If that is what we must do, we should try to make plans to not give away our position if we are going to move.
Agreed.
Also, what would we do if there is a contingent due back and they get here and we're not here?
Well, we're not going to move tonight. I'll call a meeting in the morning. We'll all discuss and decide the best course of action.
That sounds like the best plan.
I'll leave you to your prayers. I'm going to continue my rounds.
Thank you.
And Orchestrion, while you are performing, you see Ignis just moving from tent to tent, moving around. Some of the kids are into it. Into your performance.
Okay.
Some of the older people, they're into it in the sense that it's something to do that isn't talk about the dragons.
Ah.
So they are, even though they may not be into your type of magic, they are appreciative of the distraction. And there is one figure who's sitting crisscross applesauce in the front row. Half-orc, shoulder-length, unkempt black hair, and there is a large bald spot and scar on the right side of front of his skull, right over here. This is, you would all know him. His name is Derek Hildelay. He joined the Resistance as a little boy when Ignis found him as an orphan. He was injured from a thrown boulder from a fire giant, and he has lived with a brain injury ever since. He's not a trained fighter, but he is super strong and just loves hanging around you guys. He's basically your groupie.
Okay.
And he is sitting, and he is just amazed at what you're doing.
In part of the act, you know, after juggling, and I probably, you know, got the whole, like, wand, and it turns into flowers and this and that, and I go up to him, and... gold coin out of the ear.
Never figure out how you do that.
Here you go, my boy.
And he's holding it like this is the most precious jewel in the history of mankind.
And then, of course, I think, down one gold coin. Oh, well. It's worth it.
Malady.
Yeah?
As your table is sort of on the edge of the central part of the camp.
Mm-hmm.
You hear a bit of a commotion coming from into the trees where you know that's where scouts are planted. Scouts are out there, and you hear commotion and you can see movement coming towards the camp. Not like shouting and like, but you hear like a commotion. A kerfuffle, if you will.
A kerfuffle? I'm aggravated because I have to stop what I'm doing.
Okay.
But I'll get up and I'll walk over. And if I don't know if I do, but if I hold any sway in the town as, like somebody to answer to, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, or respect.
You do. All the other rebel fighters defer to the four of you. You are, like, okay. Like I said, you're the elite squad.
So if I walk over and I go, no, what's going on? They would, like...
As you go to walk over, as you put your... You huff, you put your quill down and you begin walking over. You would have your back turned... You see it. You give me... I'm sorry. Ashley would have your back... I'm trying not to say you so people know who I'm talking to, people who listen. Ashley would have his back turned. Orchestrion, this is on the opposite side of you, so you see Malady get up from her table and walk toward the shoreline.
And does that, like, get my haggles up? Do I see
something? Yeah, you see her walking over. Zarkon, give me a perception check.
I'm very tiny, by the way. I'm very, very little. I'm a gnome. I'm very short.
Happens to the best.
15. Okay. Zarkon, you notice... I almost called you Pox. You notice Malady walk past the front of your tent, and as she does, you also hear the commotion. Some sort of kerfuffle.
I will get up also annoyed to see what's, you know, what's going on and follow Malady.
Okay. As you step out, Orchestrion, you now see Zarkon come out of his tent and join her. As the two of you approach the tree line, there are several figures coming towards you, two of which are the scouts that you knew had that zone outside the camp. And they are sort of like doing the move, coming through. And behind them, you see three figures. You see a tabaxi in like very tanned leather armor, pelts, lots of wooden staff on her back. You see a female orc, dark cloak, daggers. And you see a male tiefling, greenish-brown skin, long dark ponytail, in plate armor, holy symbols. The three of them are carrying a limp female gnome, who you all know as Kespa Zainab.
Damn it.
Orchestrion, your heart drops when you see this. Kespa used to perform duets with you, and you guys used to do this together, like the performances at night. Sometimes she would join you and you would take turns, like she would do music while you did tricks, or you would do, you know, song and dance numbers together. She appears to be very pockmarked from head to toe, almost as if a hose of acid was thrown at her, and she is completely limp.
Would I clock his face, his reaction?
Yes, actually, because his reaction would be very severe to seeing that. So I will say Ashley does notice Orchestrion look that way, and when you turn and look, you see the same thing.
I would immediately go forward to check if I can help.
Okay. Make a medicine check.
I'm going to guide this.
Orchestrion jumps down whatever little stage, and he's there. He's, what's wrong? And I'm like, you know, that type of thing where you're sort of somewhat hysterical, and you might be thinking you're trying to help, but maybe, like, the people that are holding her actually helping more. But I'm like, my love, what's wrong? What happened?
12.
12? Okay. You are able to determine that she is very dead.
Ashley will, like, jump up from his seat, but also stay put, you know, with the attitude of, all right, I'm not going to go over there. I don't want to make it worse. I don't want to get in anybody's way.
Okay.
But I'm paying attention to this.
Okay. Ashley is watching. People are now noticing, and Ignis is rushing over.
So, as soon as I go there, I automatically see that she's...
She's gone.
I turn to the person holding. What happened? How did this happen?
And the one that does the talking, the female orc, just is very stoic. While you don't know their names, you are familiar with these people. This is the other team that was sent out. The one Ignis was waiting on. The druid and... druid. The tabaxi and the orc are not very talkative. The tiefling is doing the talking for them. Who you know, his name is Galival. We were bushwhacked, Orchestrion. We're trying to find the supply depot. One second we were clear, and the next second we were surrounded by loyalists. Led by... big black dragon.
They did this to her.
They did it to all of us. The three of us barely escaped. Thank at least we were able to grab her body, give her a decent burial.
I'm going to try to reach out and try to grab Orchestrion's elbow.
Orchestrion sort of instinctually pulls away, but then sees that you're just trying to help and understands.
Think rationally.
They knew you were coming.
I think so. It felt that way. We never found the supply depot. And...
Orchestrion's obviously very upset. Put her down.
Just sit with her. Just sit with her.
Gallival turns and they lay her down. They are about to sweep your books off the table.
I'll get them. Okay. And I start, like, they're alphabetized. Please, I'm sorry. Just give me a second.
All the children have left, right?
The children have run to their parents. They're being cradled.
Get them out of here. Now. All of you.
Ashley will start helping to, you know, corral.
Okay, and you're corralling the kids and sort of directing the non-combatants back to your tents, back to your huts, everyone.
Yeah.
And sir,
I'm going to help him with that. Okay. I'm going to help Ash with that. And I'm going to say, please give us a moment alone. Please let us have this second. Because I want to speak to just the four of us.
You can speak up. I can always edit it.
What was her name?
Kespa.
Orchestrion, do you say out loud they knew you were coming?
Yeah, I, like, literally, like...
And I, would I hear that?
Yep, I'll say that was all, yeah.
If I hear that, can I do a perception check or a check to, or an insight to see if anybody is reacting differently than they should about this?
Sure, make an insight check.
As soon as all of the onlookers leave and it's just us with Kespa at the table, I want to, like... speak to just the four of us and say, so does that mean we have a mole? Does that mean there's somebody in this cube we cannot trust?
You say that to the four of you?
When everyone's out of your shot, yes.
Okay.
24.
If I feel like I can't, I will message each one of them individually.
High rolls just starting.
Yeah. I know! But level 10!
We're an hour in and you guys are just rolling with absolute hate.
I mean, the first roll of the game was a 20.
Instead of whispers, we do texts.
So DM, so I'm going to say that if I feel that there's too many people within earshot of us, I will message them each individually. Does that mean there's somebody here we cannot trust?
Okay. One by one, you get that message in your ears.
I will be what sensitive message? With you.
She basically casts a message to all of you saying, like, do we have a mole? Is there someone we can't trust?
Yeah.
I slap eyes with you.
So, hold on a second here.
Yes, it's a once, it's, I think, like, telepathic walkie-talkie, but one sentence at a time.
So I actually have telepathy as a language?
What?
It's part of my,
okay.
Yeah, we're taking all kinds of stuff that people don't use for a spin today.
That's cool.
Braz went deep into the Tasha's cauldron.
Nice.
telepathy as a language?
Yeah, that's cool. How the hell does that work?
It's
why Tasha, have I never fucking heard of this before?
Because Tasha's is broken, that's why.
Yeah, psionic mind. You can send telepathic messages to any creature you see within 30 feet of you.
Amazing.
You don't need to share any languages with the creature, but it must be able to understand at least one language to comprehend these messages.
Comprehend your message.
I would say we should keep an... I will message back to each of you. We should keep an eye on Gallivel.
Gallivel.
She made the slightest of twitches when Orchestrion suggested that they knew the team was coming. I don't know what it means, but we should be vigilant.
I'm just basically, like, kneeled at the body.
A question. For my spell that does healing of it's just a scratch, theoretically, it is that I'm reversing time of the wound. So can I heal the wound even though I'm not really bringing her back to life so that I could preserve her face so he could say goodbye?
Ooh, that's interesting.
Because I'm reversing the time of the damage on her face just so that he can see her one last time.
Victoria is playing a wizard that is not in the books. I wrote her a subclass. Is it okay if I tell them?
Yeah, I'm a chronomancer.
She is a chronomancer.
Oh! Cool.
So he wrote me all spells.
She has original spells.
He wrote me a whole class.
Which is also going to act as playtesting for that subclass.
Which, if it
works well, I'm going to end up putting it on DM's Guild.
So cool.
Can we tell how long she's been dead?
It must have been this day.
It was this day. She went out earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been, I'd say, around an hour-ish.
An hour? And how long can you reverse time for?
Oh, I can only do a little bit. This little is bit? Just for a little bit of wounds.
Okay.
I'm you not won't... that talented yet.
Yeah, you...
See, and then at that moment I take out my book and I'll be like, see, I've been working on it and I've been trying to figure out if I can just get this component to work with the... And I start blabbering in words that you're like, oh my god, shut up.
Yeah, and while you may not all... You don't quite understand it. You would all know Malady's spellbook is full of, like, equations and just theories and things scribbled and written out as she is trying to figure out chronomancy as she goes.
It's all Einstein relativity.
Yeah.
Ashley was just starting to, like, visibly sober up, and then she starts going on, and he's a little bit of glassy eyes. I have no idea what she's talking about.
So, what we're trying to do, make me a spellcasting check.
Oh, shit.
And let's see. You won't be able to heal her, as in bring her back.
Of course,
but
yeah.
But what you're trying to do, make me a spellcasting check. Let's see what happens.
How do you want me to do that, babe? How do I do that?
Roll a d20 and add your spellcasting modifier.
I think I can do this. Oh, by the way, Malady is extremely fucking smart. 25!
25? Yes. You're able to...
It's a cantrip, so I'll do it as much as I can just to... preserve her face.
Yeah, it's a different type of healing, as in you can't heal her, but you are doing away with the wounds on the face. And as Malady's hand is passing over Kespa's face, or Kestron, you see the skin is sort of grafting back together, and where the acid damaged her face, she now she looks fairly normal, and Malady was at least able to make her look a little peaceful.
So at this point, like, you can, like, I kind of try to push you aside and just say, just let me help you. And I try to, like, do it. And you see that it's not just healing the way that, like, he would do it. It's not, like, radiant or glowing. It looks much more like a bone would, like, pop back in place. And it's, like, you can actually see the bubbles going down in a way that you would see, like, how they came up.
Yep.
And then, like, as I'm doing it, you see that I have a ring on my hand that's, like, glowing different colors as I'm doing it.
I see this. I see what it does. Thank you. She would have appreciated that.
She was very beautiful. She is very beautiful. Take your time and say goodbye.
I'm there and... hold her head. To one last show, Kespi.
While he's doing that, I'll look at the three of them and be like, we need to talk.
Let's give them some time.
Yeah.
And before I'll clap them on the shoulder and walk out.
Before I leave to go talk, I'm going to try this. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. I'm going to try the Spare the Dying cantrip on her.
Spare the Dying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it does not work.
Just wanted to be sure.
That's fair.
Worth a shot.
As you say, we all need to talk, is when Ignis pushes her way towards you guys. Because there is a bit of a crowd surrounding you. Those, the other fighters in the camp, the ones who are also trained, have drawn weapons, and there's a little bit of, like, looking up at the canopies. People are very on edge right now. You don't hear anything coming towards you. It's just now people are jumping at shadows kind of thing. The weapons are drawn. Ignis pushes her way through to you guys. Well, if you're going to be talking, you mind suiting up while you do so? If they know we're looking for the supply depot, they're going to move it immediately. And I'd like to destroy it, particularly if we do have to evacuate the camp. I'd like to know we at least got that done.
I think Alcestrion would be...
Alcestrion gets up and goes, yes, we have work to do. I go to the individuals that... I'm sure the guards or whatnot that were still there, the individual that I spoke to, wrap her in the linen that is under her her beddings. You can put her at rest tomorrow. I know she would want a small plot, nothing too fancy. She wasn't as rambunctious as I am. And, I don't know, and I go to my camp and I start gathering my weapons and whatnot.
Galavel, as well as Grigwin, who was the orc rogue, and Adair, the tabaxi druid, all say, we'll make sure we do right by her.
Thank you.
And they take her as you all begin to go suit up.
I'm already suited up.
Any last-minute preparations or any roleplay notes we didn't hit?
I do have a question for the group.
Mm-hmm.
that if I can be within 30 feet of you, I will ask. Would we want to get Galavel alone to see, probe more about her reaction?
Galavel's a him.
Oh, him. Oh, I thought he was the...
I thought you said she.
She responded.
The other two, she responded.
Yeah, Galavel. She responded when we said it was a trap. Sorry, if it's a he, I'll change it.
No, it's a he. The other two were females. The Tabaxi and the rogue. And the orc that came with him were females.
Okay.
And Ignis is also obviously female, but no,
Galavel is the one who went like, awkward, right? Okay.
Would we like to perhaps invite him along and get him alone to talk to him?
Yeah.
Perhaps he can, I can't do air quotes in telepathy, but I will say in air quotes, he can help lead us to the camp. Or where we think the depot is going to be.
Or where they got ambushed.
Mm-hmm. That in effect.
Yeah.
Not a bad idea.
You could try to ambush them.
Well, I feel like we need to figure out why there was such concern.
I think getting him alone is a really good idea. Because being able to get him alone... I am... To let you guys know, I try to be very logical. Like, Malady is very logical. If you're on that side, if you have betrayed us, then that's perfectly fine for you to be able to die. So in her mind, good, get him away from camp, and if we decide that he is bad and betrayed us, kill him, and then the rest of the camp will understand a little bit better. We don't have to do it in front of the kids.
I feel like that's jumping to conclusions real quick, but it's also not a bad idea to test our theory.
I agree. I don't want to just jump to a conclusion. It's good to investigate further. But yeah, invite him along.
Okay.
It'd be nice to have an extra body anyway.
What do you think?
I think we should definitely
bring him.
Ask him some questions and bring him along.
Very well.
Okay. Who's making the approach? Are you all four going to collect him?
I think it's a bad idea for you to do it. Or you could, because you're the most charming. You think you can...
Well, thank you, dear.
You can... All right. You can... Do you think you can handle it? Asking him to come along?
I can ask.
Okay.
Before you go, I will find you, walk up to you, and put my hand on your shoulder. I'm going to give you guidance. Because if you're going to do a persuasion check or something.
Literally, okay. I was just going to make that joke. Yes, good.
That means you'll add a d4 to, okay. Like, if...
Okay. Well, I walk over and I find the...
They are in Kespa's tent.
Okay.
Adair and Grigwin are preparing her.
Okay.
And... You see Galavel is there, and he has his prayer book, and they're all still suited up, and he's thumbing through it, just finding an appropriate prayer as you enter. Oh, yes, Ocestrion.
Thank you. Well, I know this is important.
Mm.
Me and my party feel that it'd be appropriate for you to come and join us and help us. You would know, perhaps, where they ambushed. Maybe you give us some insight into where they might be heading. We can cut them off at the pass.
You're going out tonight?
Yes.
I think I'm needed here to make sure that she's prepared according to your wishes.
I know her. She would want you to come along, and she would want what we're about to do to be done. Prayers can wait.
Make an intimidation check.
Intimidation? Ooh. And add a D something.
Four.
You may add a D4.
Add a D something?
And I'm gonna add the D4?
I'm trying to help. I thought he only rolled a
10?
Ten total? I appreciate where you're coming from, Ocestrion, but there's no other cleric in this camp other than Zarkon, who I'm sure is going out with you, who is capable of preparing her. I fought alongside her myself for many years. I think I owe it to her to see to her that she's sent off properly.
Do I see this conversation?
No, Ocestrion walked away from you.
No, I don't know where I am. That's where I am.
So, could I roll, I guess, would it be insight?
Like, what do you want?
I'm trying to read him.
Yeah, make an insight check.
Like, I'm trying to figure out, I'm trying to see if this is a poker face.
Okay.
So much, ooh. 21?
There's definitely more to it than that. He's being dodgy. What he says makes sense. Like, he is really the only other cleric, and he did fight alongside her for several years. That's all true. But there is something beneath the surface.
Do I see anything on him? Like, what do I see on him?
His normal gear, he's in his armor, he's got his mace, his prayer book, his holy symbol.
Very well. I understand. You just wanted to make the offer.
Appreciative. Be careful.
Will do.
And he turns and...
I head on out.
He's not coming?
Is this all in my head? It's like, damn it, all. Oh, could you just get out of my head?
No. If you're walking over me, I'm asking you.
I need a lithium after this.
He's not coming?
He wishes to do his prayers, and since he's the only other cleric other than yourself, he finds that is important, which is valid, even though there might be something else behind the veil. But that's for another day.
Can I go in there, and can I grab him by the ear, and can I tell him sweetheart? To get his ass shit and get the butt over here? Can I? I want to pinch him on the ear. If I can reach his ear, I will pinch him on the ear.
All right. Calm down.
And I will drag his ass out here.
Grab him by the ear.
Not now. Now's not the time.
I am short. I might have to grab him
Do I know that Ignis is in the tent?
Ignis was not in that tent.
So.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have work to do. The enemy's afoot, and we need to get at the depot. And speaking of grabbing him by the ear.
Oh, I was going to say,
here you go. And I get a flower out of her ear. If you want me to roll, I roll, but...
That's fine.
This is not helpful right now. This is not a logical solution to our problems.
It's fine.
Do I know where Ignis is at the moment?
Make a perception check.
Okay.
So as we walk up, put it in my hair. Put the flower in my hair. And because he's extremely charming and, as you said, 17. Very good looking, I kind of
17. Okay. As you scan the camp, you can see Ignis is sort of moving from scout post to scout post, making sure everyone's awake, everyone's alert, fortifications are being made, traps are being reset up.
I'm gonna walk within 30 feet of her.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna send her a message.
So it looks like
please keep an eye on Galavelle. He is not what he seems. And then I'll just walk away.
She can't message you if you're outside of 30 feet? She can't answer back?
Not if I'm outside of 30 feet, I don't believe.
Okay. You walk away. No, you do not hear a reply come through.
Okay.